When a family member needs financial help, how do you know if you're showing biblical compassion or enabling destructive behavior? Many Christians struggle with this tension, wanting to honor God by caring for family while also recognizing that sometimes the most loving thing is to let consequences do their work. Today, we'll explore the biblical wisdom that helps you navigate these difficult decisions. Let's get some perspective. Welcome to Christian Financial Perspectives. My name is Sean Peters. This is Bob Barber. And today we're covering the biblical way to provide for family. And the Bible calls on us as Christians to provide financially for our families. Since most people no longer grow their own food, make their own clothing, or build their own homes from trees and bricks, when we talk about this, we use our financial means today to buy essentials like food, water, clothing, and shelter, as well as other needs and wants. Yeah. And Bob, thank you for putting this together. I didn't contribute much really to this particular script. So
that's okay.
If you like this, then Bob wrote it. If you
don't like it.
Sorry, if you don't like it, Bob wrote it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you do like it, I helped more than I implied. So why don't you start us off with the definition of family according to biblical standards?
Well, Sean, I think you added that part in there, so I want you to do that.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to throw.
You're gonna try to throw me off. I'm gonna say it's mom and a dad and kids and the biblical definition of a family.
Well, it's
is
okay.
Very
it's
different than the secular worldview.
That's true, but we're gonna start with scripture. It makes it easy.
Okay.
But Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So those in Christ are considered family.
That's right.
And yep. God is our Father.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. You're not only my son-in-law, but even if you weren't my son-in-law, you'd be considered my brother through Jesus.
Exactly.
Because that's our common, we have that commonality.
Through Christ, we've been adopted into the same family.
That's right. And, doing good for others is an investment in them that you hope is going to pay off for now.
Yeah.
And in eternity. And I think Christians need to strive to do good for all people though.
Yeah.
And with a priority on helping fellow believers who are unable to help themselves. And you notice I said that, who are unable to help themselves.
Right.
Because there's one thing as I was writing this, Sean, that kept hitting me over and over was, we're talking about providing, but we don't want to enable bad behavior.
Yeah. There's a big difference between, and honestly, it seems like as of this recording, it was still somewhat recent, but the whole thing in the government and SNAP benefits, and yet you see tons of people that has nothing to do with them being on hard times or not being able to work. They just don't want to.
Yeah.
And that, I think, a government example, but in this case, as Christians, that is kind of the same distinction, is helping people who can't help themselves for whatever reason, maybe physical disability, maybe mental issue,
right,
maybe combination, or maybe just a temporary thing that just some bad things. Unfortunately, they're going through a valley, but people who just don't want to do anything and they have the capacity to do it. Well, that's just laziness.
Well, we're going to really get into that scripture. And this next scripture that we're going to share is from 1 Timothy 5:8, which is where the basis of this started.
Yeah.
When I was developing this.
So family members in your own household.
That's the key here. It says, if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Man, that's pretty strong word, Sean.
It's a very strong word.
You think about it. So it's a Christian's obligation and duty to care for, support, and protect family members, especially in their own household.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of like Proverbs, but it's over in Timothy.
Well, it makes me think of the other scripture. Maybe you remember the specific reference, but when it talks about how, what a good father, when his son asks for a fish, doesn't give him a rock or give him a snake, kind of a thing. And it's like, and then it's like, how much more good is your father in heaven? In providing for you, it kind of makes me think of that too. Like, well, yeah, you need to provide for your family. And if they have needs and you're able, why would you not provide for them?
And this scripture is, you know, really saying, hey, this is not just about talk. I mean, this requires tangible action.
Yeah.
With family provision as a primary goal here and a God-given responsibility.
Yeah.
And that the failure to provide for family is viewed as a serious moral obligation, effectively denying the Christian faith by acting in a manner worse than an unbeliever if you don't.
Yeah.
Wow. So when I was just thinking about this, I was like, man, this is, like, you know, you always say Proverbs really speaks straight to the point.
Yeah.
This one really speaks straight to the point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very serious moral obligation, and failure to do so is not okay. I mean, there's no way around that.
And so this kind of takes us into the next area that the Lord was laying on me as I was writing this, is about faith and deeds. Mm-hmm. And you know where James 2:14 through 16, he talks about faith and works.
Sure.
I'll
go ahead and read that. James 2:14 through 16 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead."
I saw three points that kind of came out of this scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, James is really, he's questioning the value of faith if it doesn't provide visible good works.
Yeah.
And he's also that a verbal profession of faith without practical loving action is worthless.
Or dead.
In this case. Yeah. And that genuine saving faith compels believers to meet the physical and spiritual needs of others who are incapable of meeting their own needs. And again, comes back to that, those that are incapable of meeting their own needs. And we're gonna kind of talk about who are those incapable of meeting their own needs. Because there's a group of people that are incapable of meeting their needs, and that's who we're called to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's James, it always really sticks out to me on that distinction of the deeds are not what save you, for example.
Right.
It's simply that outward expression of the faith that you have.
Right.
Because if your faith is real, it's like, well, you can't help. I think the analogy of the tree, it's like, well, if it's a healthy fruit tree, it's going to produce fruit.
Right.
Because that's just the nature of the tree. That's what it does.
Yeah.
And so the same should be like with our faith. It's like, you know, you tell somebody, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, when you literally could like get them food right now because they need help. Like it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Don't just give them the platitude of like, oh yeah, I hope God provides it. Well, maybe God put them in your path right now.
Maybe you need to go buy them a meal.
Yeah.
Maybe or help them out. Exactly. Now, this is where this next section is where I saw the caution of financial provisioning for enabling laziness.
Yeah.
And of course, now comes Proverbs, right?
Yeah. Because we weren't going to get through this episode without at least one Proverbs reference.
Not without Proverbs when it comes to about enabling, because Proverbs is pretty strong on this. Yeah. And it starts off with Proverbs 10:3-5.
Oh, go ahead. "The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son." And then you have another Proverbs here.
Yeah, I do.
Proverbs 19:15-18. "Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless go hungry. Whoever keeps commandments keeps their life, but whoever shows contempt for their ways will die. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death."
So the consequences of laziness, according to these scriptures, are poverty and hunger. And you know, it says
I can see that again, especially in the long run, and talks about disciplining your children. It's like, well, yeah, because you want to make sure that when they're old enough that they are on their own, you want to make sure that they don't continue lazy habits and therefore they can't take care of themselves. And then what about when you're no longer on this earth? You know, it's kind of the same. It makes total sense that, you know, you want to instill these good principles in them before it's too late.
You know, the emphasis on Proverbs 19:15, when we're reading it, is that laziness can cast you into deep sleep. I mean, that's what it says. An idle person is going to suffer hunger. And over in Proverbs 10:4, a slack hand causes poverty. I mean, it's basically saying, if you're lazy, these things can happen to you. The book of Proverbs also describes a lazy person as a sluggard. As one who sleeps, neglects tasks, and makes ridiculous excuses that about not working and allows their home to fall into disrepair.
Yeah.
Proverbs 6:6-8, that's the one about the ant.
Yep.
And consider her ways and be wise. And it highlights initiative that the ant, you know, saves during summer.
Right.
And for the winter.
That's right.
That's coming. And beyond physical poverty, laziness is viewed as a lack of wisdom and a sinful misuse of time. And this is over in Ecclesiastes 10:18 and Proverbs 20:13.
And yeah, I wish you were able to find more scriptural references for these
different parts ones.
And points. Yeah, and we only have one to two for each one.
And there it is. Paul addresses this in the New Testament over in Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians 3:10.
Yeah, he emphasizes that providing for one's own household is essential to the faith, and anyone that's not willing to work, they should not eat.
Mm.
So when I looked at this, I was like, man, these are pretty strong. They're about enabling bad behavior.
Yeah.
Now, the biblical worldview of providing for your family, if they're incapable of providing for themselves, is a Christian obligation. And I started thinking about what family members could be incapable of providing for themselves. And elderly,
yeah,
because they just physically can't get out and do work anymore. The physically handicapped, or those who have a mental illness, which is often one of the worst illnesses because you can't see it, a mental illness. And, you know, from my studies,
you can always see symptoms of it.
Yeah.
And so it's harder than, you know, someone who physically can't walk.
Right.
Or someone who is, like you said, the elderly. It's, you can kind of tell, like, well, yeah, their muscles atrophied and they can't move around on their own. But then the mental part, like, they could look totally healthy from an outside perspective.
And I've learned through investing, talking about how invest in companies to, you know, try to help schizophrenia as an example, or bipolar, because from the studies that I've done about this, is the majority of the homeless on the streets, they have a mental illness.
Yeah.
And I don't
know. They're not actually homeless because they literally just can't find a place or don't have a place to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember we might have even talked about this in a episode at some point in the series, but you had someone from high school, I think, or whatever that had gotten home.
And one of my best friends, he was a quarterback. He went to the University of Texas, and then we later found him, and he developed schizophrenia as well. He was coach at a high school team, and really doing well.
I remember the story you shared was something about I don't know if it was from you and others or whatever, but there was a home provided after this had happened with the schizophrenia, and it was short time later that it was like he was gone and he destroyed the house. And, it was just, again, it wasn't a physical need of, oh, he just doesn't have a home, but it was actually the mental illness was actually the issue.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. He thought there were gremlins in the wall. So, he's a great guy. When I still see him, he's still alive today. When I go see him, he yells out my name from across the street, he'll come give you a hug, but you can't get too close. And I've seen just how awful mental illness is, and I'm careful of I don't judge homeless people anymore.
Yeah.
I remember my younger days, it's like, oh, go get a job.
Yeah.
But I don't do that anymore. Yeah. And we need to have compassion for them. But on the flip side, family members who just refuse to work when they're perfectly capable of working, this is just enabling bad behavior, and we need to allow those consequences of not working and bad behavior. We need to allow what's going to happen is what's going to happen, because I feel like we're going to get in the way of God if we don't. Let God work in their lives.
Yeah. 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 Because, I know we've seen it here at Christian Financial Advisors when we have like older clients that have a kid, or and sometimes kids, And because, you know, it's like mom is retired and dad's already passed away and, mm-hmm. oh, she has money. She has retirement money and she's very generous. But then there are, you know, the son or daughter or both, whatever. And, oh, they're living on mom's property and, oh, they need money for, you know, getting this thing or they need money for that. Like, well, hold on. Like they're working. Mom only has so much left. Mm-hmm. That's all she has. She can't right. work anymore. And then they're taking advantage of, instead of actually working and saving up for whatever it is that they supposedly need, which they don't need, they take advantage of mom. And in that case, it's a great example of, no, mom, like you need to say no.
Right.
Because you're not helping them. You're actually right. hurting them and yourself.
That's right. So. Yeah. So there's two sides of this.
Yeah.
In looking at this from the biblical worldview, and you never want to take scripture out of context by just saying, taking one scripture.
Right.
You got to look at many scriptures. So this is why I want to end up today on four or five scriptures that yeah. I think, and you're going to notice that they're going to go kind of back and forth because we need to put compassion in there, right? But we also need to put wisdom
yeah.
when it's providing for family members.
We're going to go through these and we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit will guide whoever That's is right. Watching or listening to this. And we know that God's word never returns back void. And so
you take one, I'll take one.
Sounds good.
Okay.
1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble.
Proverbs 17:16, of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no intention of acquiring wisdom?
Ephesians 4:30, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Proverbs 14:23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty.
Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
And the last one for today is Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act, when you can do something about it. The conclusion of all this is a biblical worldview of financial providing for your family is very important, especially when Scripture says anyone who does not provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever and is denying the faith.
And especially for those in his own household.
Yeah, in their own household.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know as a dad, I'm also a grandfather. I really take financially providing for my family is one of my top priorities. And I hope this lesson has spurred you to do the same.
Next time we're going to be covering the biblical worldview of debt.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoyed this and thank you for joining us and God bless.
Investment advisory services offered through Christian Investment Advisors, Inc., DBA, Christian Financial Advisors, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Comments from today's show are for informational purposes only and not to be considered investment advice or recommendations to buy or sell any company that may have been mentioned or discussed. The opinions expressed are solely those of the hosts, Bob Barber and Sean Peters, and their guests. Bob and Sean do not provide tax advice and encourage you to seek guidance from a tax professional. While Christian Investment Advisors believes the information to be accurate and reliable, we do not claim or have responsibility for its completeness, accuracy, or reliability.